Welcome to the Children's Ministry Podcast with your host, Carl Bastian, and his alter ego, Gus. In this episode, Carl begins a three-part series during which he is going to give away many of his secrets for connecting with kids. Over the years, countless teachers and parents have asked Carl why he has an uncanny ability to quickly connect with any child he meets. The secret, Carl explains, is to approach kids the way a missionary approaches the foreign mission field, by recognizing that if you want to connect, you must first learn the culture. As you listen, prepare yourself to become a children's ministry missionary, and soon you too will be connecting with kids in new and exciting ways. This episode is sponsored by God Rocks, whose animated videos and biblical music will help any parent or teacher better connect with their children. And now, here's Carl and Gus.
Welcome back to the Children's Ministry Podcast.
Wait a minute!
What?
I wanted to do that.
Do what?
Welcome everybody!
Well, why don't you go ahead?
But you already did it.
I have a great idea.
What?
Let's do it together.
We can do that?
Sure we can.
Okay.
Here it goes.
Welcome back to the Children's Ministry Podcast.
There you go.
Wow, that was cool. I bet you can't do that live.
Anyway, we're here to continue our discussion on kidology.
Wait, I remember what it means.
What does it mean?
Kidology is the study of kids. How they think, relate, communicate, and learn.
That's right. Very good. And it's also the study of their culture.
Yeah. And we were going to talk about how children's ministry can be approached as cross-cultural ministry.
That's right. Our world is completely different from the world of kids. And if we really want to be effective in ministering to kids and relaying to kids and teaching them and ultimately to having an influence in changing their lives, we have got to approach our ministry to them as though we're missionaries into their world.
Now, you've got some experience in cross-cultural ministry, don't you?
That's right. Actually, the Lord has blessed me to be able to travel to over 10 different countries to do children's ministry.
Now, when you say over 10, is that like a nicer way to say 11?
No. If you're going to be technical, it's been 14.
Oh, Mr. Hoity-toity, been to 14 different countries.
All right, anyway, so in each of those trips and in each of those contexts, I had to adapt the things that I did because some things weren't funny that were funny here, and I had to adjust to the cultures.
Yeah, you got the culture shock.
Yeah, that's right.
And I bet some of those countries are still recovering from you being there.
What do you mean?
Well, you got culture shock. They got Carl shock.
All right. But anyway, I also got some cross-cultural experience because I married cross-culturally.
What, you picked up a wife on one of those mission trips?
Well, kind of, sort of. I met my wife on one of those mission trips. She was an MK.
Oh, a military kid.
No.
Mischievous kid?
No.
A mysterious kid.
No, she was an MK, which means a missionary kid.
Oh, so you're working for the missionary and hitting on his daughter.
All right, something like that. But anyway, when she finally came to the United States and became a Moody student, where I was a student, she began to notice how much different our culture was from where she grew up. In fact, originally, she thought she was very American, and once she was here a couple weeks and saw how impatient and in a hurry and how unpolite we are, she quickly said, I'm not as American as I am Filipino.
Now, how are the Filipinos different than Americans?
Well, every culture has things that they value over other cultures. In other words, it's not a matter of right and wrong, it's a matter of priority.
You lost me.
Well, for example, in America, we value the truth. I mean, we want you to tell me the truth, even if it hurts. In the Philippines, they value courtesy over honesty, which means they will tell you what is the courteous thing, even if it's not necessarily the truth.
So basically, they'll lie to your face to be polite.
Well, kind of.
Give me an example.
Well, like, for example, I was shopping one time. I was looking for an umbrella.
Yeah, it rains every day there in the Philippines.
Yes, so I was there getting an umbrella, and as I asked around the store where their umbrellas were, they didn't sell umbrellas, but they couldn't tell me that. So instead, they just said, go to the second floor. And on the second floor, they'd say, go to the third floor. And on the third floor, they'd say, back on the first floor. And I finally said as politely as I could, look, I've looked on every floor, and I can't find the umbrellas. Do you even sell umbrellas? And they still couldn't say no, but this clerk, struggling to remain courteous, said to me that they are out of stock. I found out later they don't even carry umbrellas. So they want to not hurt your feelings or offend you.
Now, how did that translate into America where, you know, did Sarah need an umbrella?
No, but I'll give you a good example. One time on the weekends, because I lived in Chicago and Sarah quickly became a part of my family.
Yeah, they said if you don't marry her, they were going to kick you out and keep her.
Yeah, they definitely liked her a lot better than me. But we would spend the weekend sometimes at my folks. And one time, as we were driving back to Moody,
hurrying to get there before curfew.
Yeah, exactly. I noticed that she was a little upset. And as I tried to find out what had bothered her, she told me that she was really just disappointed that she didn't get any of the brownies.
The brownies? Huh, I would love to have some brownies.
Well, I was kind of surprised because there had been a lot of brownies. And I said, well, why didn't you have one? I heard my mom offer you one. And she said, well, I thought she was just being polite.
Ah, the bastion's being polite!
All right, come on, Gus. So as I probed this with her a little bit, what I learned is that in the Philippines, if you go to someone's house, and let's suppose the hostess has just made a nice big plate of cookies.
Hey, give me one of those cookies, lady!
That would not go over. In fact, she would have to offer you the cookies as a gesture of politeness.
You mean she offers you a cookie and you're not supposed to take one?
Exactly. She would offer you the cookie, and even if you wanted one, you'd say, no, that's all right, thank you. Because you should know that she's just being polite.
Well, what if she really wants to give you a cookie?
Well, then what she would do is she would offer a second time.
Ah, then you get the cookie.
Not quite.
What do you mean?
Well, the second time she offers a cookie so that you don't think that she was just being polite the first time.
Wait a minute, let me get this straight. She's offering it the second time just to be polite so you don't think that the first time she was just being polite.
Exactly.
And so, does she offer you a third time?
Well, if she really doesn't want to share her cookies, she won't offer a third time.
Man, even though she offered you twice.
Even though she's offered twice. Because she's been doubly polite, but she doesn't actually have to share her cookies. But Filipinos are very generous people, and they most likely would want to share the cookies. And so they would offer a third time if you would like a cookie.
And at that point, it's okay to take one?
It's really.
You sure?
Yes.
That's your final answer?
Yes, it's okay to take the cookie on the third time.
Wait a minute.
What?
What if you don't want a cookie?
Well, if you don't want a cookie, it's okay at that point to say no.
Oh, that's good to know.
But
what? Oh, no.
If she offers a fourth time, if you take a cookie,
and you don't take one,
then you're being rude.
Oh, man, this is so confusing.
Yeah, tell me about it. Well, Sarah's explained this to me, that typically Filipinos will offer something three times if it is a genuine offering.
Oh, wow. So what happened?
Well, the next time we were at my folks' house for the weekend, and my mom had just made a pizza, and she got the pizza out of the oven. She was turning toward us, and I kind of gave her this look. You know, I explained to her earlier about the three things, and my mom winked at me.
And Sarah probably winked at you, too, but that was later.
Anyway, and so she turned to Sarah, and she said, oh, Sarah, I'm so delighted that you're able to visit with us again, and I've just gotten a nice pizza out of the oven. Would you like a piece? Would you like a piece? Would you like a piece?
Oh, Sarah's probably like, is that one? Is that three? I mean, I didn't even get a chance to say no between them.
Exactly. Now, we can kind of laugh at that, and my wife is very much adapted to the culture, although she's probably still one of the most courteous and polite Americans that I know.
And maybe you've improved a little bit.
Yes, and maybe I've slowed down a little bit and gotten a little more polite myself. But we can laugh at these cross-cultural differences and all the stories I could tell you.
What, at times you messed up on the mission field?
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? The same thing happens in children's ministry.
What are you talking about? The kids always take the candy the first time you offer it.
No, what I'm saying is that in children's ministry, we don't necessarily offend kids, but we do things and we say things that just send subtle signals to the kids that we're really not one of them.
Oh, well, what should we do?
Well, see, on a missionary, when he goes to a foreign field, he or she has to adapt to the culture and learn the culture. And today we're going to talk about the first thing that a missionary must do, and that is to learn the language.
We speak the same language as the kids.
Yes, we typically do. But what I'm talking about is we have to learn how kids talk. And we're going to focus on humor.
Oh, kids love humor. Hey, did you hear the one about the peanut butter?
No, I don't want to hear it.
That's good. You probably just spread it around anyway.
Well, actually, Gus, I'm not just talking about jokes. I mean, kids do tell jokes, just as grown-ups tell jokes.
Yeah, but we all know why grown-ups tell jokes.
Oh, why is that?
Well, they're trying to be funny in their otherwise dull lives.
Well, kind of. There's a lot of truth to that. I mean, we live very serious lives,
full of responsibility and problems and whatever.
Exactly. And so we kind of tell jokes as a way to lighten things up. And so kids see that and they think, well, they should be telling jokes too. But the wonderful thing about children is they don't need jokes in order to be humorous.
Yeah, knock, knock.
Who's there? Who's there? Gus, who's there?
Apparently nobody is.
Anyway, let's leave the kid jokes behind. Let me tell you three wonderful things about children as it relates to humor, that if adults can capture these and incorporate them into their lives, they will be speaking the language of children.
All right, number one is?
Well, number one is that kids enjoy life.
Well, what's that have to do with humor?
Well, they enjoy life. Their humor is that they are enjoying each day. You know, when I put my little boy to bed at night and we always review the day, we talk about how we got to have lunch and we got to go out in the car and we got to go into the backyard and we got to play cars.
Yeah, that sounds like kind of boring stuff.
Well, to him, it isn't. To him, it's an adventure. And when you are an adult that learns how to embrace and enjoy every day, to not lose the wonder of the world, to point out the bugs and to look at the moon and to talk about the birds and the airplanes and to have an awe of life, kids have that. Adults, in general, have lost that. And when you learn to enjoy life and to laugh at the little things that happen, you begin to speak the language of kids. Because kids see those things and they talk to each other about them. Kids don't wake up in the morning thinking, what do I gotta do today? But what do I get to do today? Life is an adventure for them every day. And so just learning to enjoy life and to have a smile will go a long ways in learning how to connect with kids.
Yeah, most grumps get up in the morning and look like they drink lemon juice.
Exactly. In fact, one of my friends once said to an audience, if any of you guys are happy, could you please notify your face?
Oh man, that hurts.
I couldn't believe he said that. But you know, it's true. Grown-ups in general look miserable. Now the second thing that kids do,
there it is, number two, for those of you taking notes out there in podcast land.
All right, number two is that kids are in a constant state of pretending.
What are you talking about?
Kids love to pretend, and they are constantly pretending. In fact, when I'm at camp with you, Gus,
oh yeah,
and I'm running around the camp and I'm doing things, kids will often ask me where you are.
Oh, that's so sweet.
And I will tell them, oh, Gus is off horseback riding right now.
Horseback riding? I can't go on a horse unless you're there with me.
I know, but see, they can totally picture you on a horse out horseback riding.
Now, wait a minute. Are you warping their brains and making them think that I really can ride a horse by myself?
No, absolutely not. The kids know that you can't actually ride a horse by yourself, but they can imagine it. And when they see that as an adult, I can imagine and talk about those things as though they were true. It is another way to connect with them because I'm talking their language, the language of make-believe and letting it be real all the time.
That's really hard for grown-ups, isn't it?
You know, in one sense it is, but in another sense it isn't. Grown-ups have an incredibly huge capacity for make-believe, but they only give into it during very defined times.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about movies.
Oh, we love movies!
That's right, and one of the reasons grown-ups love movies, it's one of the few places they allow their imagination to just explode.
What do you mean?
Well, when they're in that theater, for that hour and a half or 2 hours, they let whatever's on that screen be real. If they've got a favorite actor in that movie, they don't think about who that actor is in real life. They let that actor be whoever it is or whatever it is they're pretending to be in that movie.
Ah, I get what you're saying. They pretend that it's real for the period of that movie.
Exactly. In fact, that's why grown-ups don't like bad acting.
Huh?
Because if an actor acts poorly, it reminds them that they're watching a movie and it destroys the pretending.
Aha! What about special effects?
You nailed it, Gus. That's the reason we get so mad at lousy special effects, because when we see something that looks fake, it reminds us that we're watching a movie. We don't like anything to remind us during the movie that it is a movie.
But they shut that down as soon as the movie's over.
Absolutely. As soon as the credits are going, grown-ups start critiquing the movie, the ending, the plot, the acting, the special effects, all the way out to the car and even over dinner, they're criticizing the movie instead of just enjoying it. You rarely hear kids criticize a movie. Even if there's parts that they don't like, they don't focus on what they don't like. They'll just talk about what they really did like. What grown-ups tend to do, on the other hand, is talk about what they didn't like and not even mention the stuff that they did like.
Man, you guys have it really bad, don't you?
You know, in some ways, grown-ups do. But we have got to learn to enjoy life and to constantly be able to pretend. You know, my little boy brings me inanimate objects all the time around the house, and he just hands it to me.
Yeah, I've seen him do that.
And it's because he knows if he puts something in my hands, I will bring it to life. I will give it a voice. I will start playing with it.
Yeah, we've all seen the toy box tales. We know you can play with toys.
That's right. So number one, enjoy life.
Oh, yeah, number two,
be in a constant state of pretending. Be willing to pretend, and even in your language and your communicating with kids, talk about things that aren't real as though they are. They will know that you are just pretending with them.
Okay, what's the third one?
The third one is the most powerful one. If you write this down, it could have a huge impact on your connecting with kids.
All right, I'm ready. I'd have to hold a pen, but with these little felt hands, it's kind of hard.
Well, maybe the grown-ups out there who are listening can write this down. And it is to discover the power of the imaginative if.
The what?
The imaginative if.
You're going to have to say that again.
I call it the imaginative if. If you walk up to a group of kids and listen to them talk, very often they will be talking about what if this and that were to happen, and then letting their imaginations go crazy.
Maybe you can give me an example.
I would be loved to. All right. For example, one time I got picked up by a pastor who was having me come speak at his church, and it was a couple hours away, and so he had his boys come with him because they kind of wanted to meet the toy box tail guy. And so we were driving in the car for several hours with this children's pastor and his two boys, and at one point as we were driving along, we happened to pass a Target store that was under construction. Now, what was kind of odd about it is that the sides of the building were there, and the cutouts for the doors and windows were there. In fact, the parking lot was all paved and lined. There was even a light with a sign all lit up that said Target, but there was a couple things wrong with the building.
Like what?
Well, for one, there was no roof.
No roof?
There was no roof, no doors, no windows. In fact, inside we could see that the floor was still dirt.
But they already went and put the light up in the parking lot and the lines.
Exactly.
I think the contractor got things out of order.
I don't know. Maybe they were trying to, you know, market the store before they finished it. But I honestly don't know who started the conversation, but one of us three boys started talking about what would it be like if they opened the Target store and forgot to put the roof and the floor in.
Oh, that would be great. You could, like, get on the dirt bikes and ride down the aisles and, like, spin out and splash dirt up on everybody.
Hey, Gus, you've got the imaginative if down. That's right. You could take the BB guns over to the food section and shoot BBs at all the jars full of mustard and ketchup and stuff. And as they would shoot them, they'd explode and the stuff would all go down.
Oh, yeah, then you if it rained, all the girls' dresses would get all wet. And you could go, ride your bike in there and splash mud up on them all.
You got the idea. And for 45 minutes at least, we just kept talking about if it snowed and the snowball fights we could have in the store and all the electronics would get all short-circuited, and we went on and on and on. Well, the reason this story sticks with me is the next day, I did the kinology seminar, and at the end of the day, this children's pastor was driving me back to the airport to fly back to Chicago, and he says, Carl, I got to tell you something. He said, this morning when I got up to leave for the conference, my two boys were up and dressed out of bed with their little shirts and ties on, ready to go to the conference. And I had to explain to them that they couldn't go.
Oh, man,
that's right. And he said they actually started crying. And mom had to kind of hold him back, and he had to go out to the car. And,
man, that sounds like a pretty desperate scene.
Well, that's how he described it. And he said as he was driving to the conference, he kept asking himself, you know, why are my boys, you know, crying when I leave the house? I don't do that for me. And all so motivated to be there. And he said, you know what? He thinks it's that Target conversation.
The Target conversation?
Because he said in that conversation, he said the whole time we were going, he was thinking to himself, this is dumb. They're never going to open a Target store without a roof. Enough already. And yet it was that imaginative if conversation that bonded me with those two boys, because they knew that I thought like them and that I had a similar sense of humor as them. And the next day they wanted to spend the day with me.
Oh, man.
In fact, he said they were crying out, are we ever going to see him ever again? And he's thinking to himself, you know, probably not.
Oh, I feel so bad for them.
Well, I do feel kind of bad for them, but it illustrates the power of connecting with kids through speaking their language, enjoying life, just finding things throughout the day to cause wonder and awe or just laughter.
Yeah, and being in that constant state of pretending.
Yeah, that's being willing to just pretend sometimes and just to play a little bit with kids. They love that.
And of course, the imaginative if.
Imaginative if.
I wonder if we were just to go on and on and on and never bring this podcast to a close.
Oh, good hint, Gus. Time to wrap things up.
But not before we talk about our sponsor.
Oh, that's true.
Because if you want to help kids laugh and you want to encourage them to pretend, God Rocks can help do that.
Well, how's that?
Well, you know, it's all based on Luke 19:40 that said, if the people fall silent, the stones will cry out.
That's right. You know, the stone characters were led by their main character, Chip Livingstone. They live in this imaginary town of
Rocky Ridge.
That's right, where they live to sing praise to God in case the people don't. Sometimes the stories are imaginative stories of in the past where rocks in the Bible tell Bible stories from their perspective.
Yeah, they've also got awesome music where they sing Bible tunes.
That's right, songs that are word for word scripture to help kids memorize scripture.
They've also got some curriculum, right?
That's right. They actually have have a 2-year curriculum published by Standard Publishing that's based on the music and the videos and that utilizes the popular large group, small group model that's used in many of today's churches.
And isn't there even a bonus service like for an all-family get-together thing?
That's right. Every 6 weeks, if you're using their curriculum, you could use the Families of Faith bonus section to bring the whole family together to learn about what the kids have been learning about in Children's Church.
Yeah, and they even just recently came out with a Vacation Bible School, didn't they?
That's right. The God Rock Starlight Rescue VBS is an all-in-one VBS kit that's media-rich, but not completely media-driven. In fact, I love the main sessions where some live actors are interacting with the screen up above and the animation,
kind of like Captain Kirk and Spock interacting with the screen.
Yeah, exactly. It's exactly like that. And it's a wonderful resource. It's available on Kidology as well as directly from God Rocks. And you can learn all about God Rocks. In fact, I did a Spotlight Ministry resource on them that's available on Kidology. You can also go to godrocks.com. No, it's not .com. It's .ca.
Oh, because they're Canadians.
That's right. Do they speak English? Of course they speak English, Gus.
Just got to rib our Canadian buddies, all right?
Well, thank you very much for listening. And
wait. You remember?
Oh, yeah, I remember.
Here we go.
Be sure to catch us next time on Children's Ministry Podcast.com, where we will be looking at the next aspect that every children's ministry missionary needs to address in order to be most effective in their ministry to kids. Until then,
toodaloo!
Join us next time as Carl talks about the next area you need to consider as you seek to be a missionary to the world of kids. As usual, it will be fun as well as practical and encouraging. Be sure to subscribe via iTunes and tell a friend about the Children's Ministry Podcast, which can easily be found at childrensministrypodcast.com. Many thanks to God Rocks for the many ways they seek to creatively engage kids and for their support of Kidology and our mission to equip and encourage those who minister to children. If you enjoy these podcasts, encourage Carl to continue them by leaving some feedback in the forum or emailing carl@kidology.org. That's Carl with a K, just like kids. Until next time, keep wondering, what if?